Pup song. Does everyone just feel pumped up for life? I feel like it's the best song before preaching. Gabby's dancing at the back. There have been moments in my life where I have wanted to be swallowed up by the ground beneath me. Times where I'm in a maybe heated discussion, or there's like a conflict, or someone says something tricky, and I just think, ground, please swallow me up right now. Can anyone else relate to that? Put your hands high, please. There was more people. There are times where I just want to get out of the room. There are times where if the temperature just rises a little bit in a moment, I feel my heart starting to race, the heat rise to my cheeks. One time I left the room to go to the toilet for 10 minutes and didn't come back. Oh, yes. All of my life, tricky conversations have been something I've wanted to avoid, something I've found really hard. And I think some of that is because I desire peace and harmony. And some of that is a bit of a fear around discord, not the gaming discord, discord in relationships. As I reflect on this part of who I am, it's caused me to see that the result of this can mean that I am sometimes closed off to people. Sometimes it means that I am not fully present with people in a conversation when I'm wanting to be swallowed up or run out of the room. Because as I'm chatting with them, I'm already imagining that I'm not really there. I don't know if you can relate to that or not. As I've been reflecting on that, yeah, it's caused me to realize maybe I'm not as loving with others in those moments as I thought I might be. Today we're exploring the topic, making love the measure of your maturity. And this is part of the Emotionally Healthy Discipleship. Becky said we're on week 3. And I wonder what comes to your mind when you hear the word mature. You might think of wine and cheese. A few people in the other service laughed when I said that. I'm not sure if I've got it right or wrong. You might think of someone who's like developed physically mature. You might think of someone who is younger and you think, wow, they're really mature for their age because they're insightful or wise or responsible. Sometimes we can think of maturity as knowing a lot, of knowing a lot about certain topics or knowing a lot about the Bible. And I think sometimes we fall into that trap of thinking maturity is about knowledge. It's about what we know. It's about how much of the Bible we know, how spiritual we are. And it breaks my heart when I hear people say, oh, I don't know enough of the Bible, or I'm not spiritual enough, or I'm not prayerful enough. Because when we look at Jesus, that wasn't the priority for him. The priority for Jesus and his ministry was love. And sometimes we might go, oh, you know, boo-hoo to love, or oh, that's mushy, we say that a lot. But it's actually quite profound to think that for Jesus it isn't about what we know or having things together, but about how we love and how we love well. And so today we're going to look at how we can love God and love others, and those being inseparable. And as we look at Jesus' life, we see he loved by listening and being fully present with people he was with. He loved without judgment, although God does judge. Jesus didn't judge people for how much they knew or what they did. He called them to a new life. Jesus loved by being open to those he was with. And so that's the measure of maturity that we're going to be looking at today. So Tim, if you get the slide up, the next one, we're going to look at 3 biblical texts that show us how for Jesus, loving God and loving others is inseparable. So Matthew 22, the Pharisees asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? What's the best, most important thing from you for how we should live? Does Jesus give 1 or 2? He gives 2. He doesn't just say loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He also says loving your neighbor as yourself. For Jesus, it couldn't be just one. It couldn't be loving God and like tolerating people, loving God, dealing with people. For him, loving God and loving others is inseparable. The second one, the Sermon on the Mount, one of the teachings that Jesus says, Jesus doesn't say this bit. The teaching of the day was that you come to the altar, you bring your gift to God for worship, and then you go and make right with someone after if you have a conflict. But Jesus flips this around. He says, No, leave your gift first. Go and make it right with that person. Then come to the altar and offer your gift. For Jesus, the loving God and loving others was inseparable. And the third example, Jesus went to Matthew's house in Matthew chapter 9, where he was with tax collectors and prostitutes. And the Pharisees said, why is Jesus eating with these people? They were considered contaminated, unclean. Jesus responds to them with a quote from Hosea 6:6. Imagine being quoted to by Jesus of the Bible when you're like meant to be a teacher of the law. He said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Pretty much saying, go and learn what mercy is. Go and learn kindness. Go and learn being safe for people. Go and learn approachability. Go and learn warm love. Your religious activity actually means nothing if you don't have love. And we see that echoed in 1 Corinthians 13. You may know scripture, you may give money, you may hear directly from God, but without love, that's nothing. Loving God and loving others is inseparable. Sometimes we find ourselves as followers of Jesus growing in our love for God and our faith. And yet sometimes we find our habits, our behaviors, or our dark side keeps rearing its head. We may struggle with a whole bunch of ways of relating to people. We may struggle with defensiveness, reactivity, fear, stubbornness, distractedness, inflexibility, impatience, reactivity, maybe sexual temptation, maybe withholding ourselves from others, maybe labeling other people. I'm sure we can all find ourselves in that list. I know I can. We may be aware of where these pop up, or we may be unaware. They may be our blind spots, but they do prevent us from being able to love well. When we seek to be emotionally healthy disciples and love like Jesus did, it's an invitation to come to God with those things and invite the Holy Spirit to change us, to move us from defensiveness in a conversation with someone, to move us from reactivity, to move us from fear, to a little bit more openness, a little bit more empathy, a little bit more vulnerability, maybe a little bit more self-disclosure, maybe a little bit more curiosity, maybe a little bit less judgment, maybe a little more attentiveness when someone is talking to us. Imagine if people knew us to be people of God who were really open-hearted, open-minded, people who didn't judge or label, but who came with a curiosity and an openness to learn. And imagine if we see every person born to this world has something of God to show us, something of the divine to reveal to us. We might still wonder at people's choices sometimes, yet we seek to be open and curious about their lives. So in the book Emotionally Healthy Discipleship, Pete Scazzaro offers us three ways that we can go about being people who are emotionally healthy and loving others like Jesus. So he's given us sort of three checkpoints when we're in a conversation with someone. So if you're happy to jump to the next one, Tim? Yep. So the first question, am I present or distracted? We could ask ourselves, am I fully present with this person? Am my feet angled to this person? Or are they angled away, like I'm ready to leave the conversation? Am I listening to this person here or more interested in what's happening over there? The average person checks their phone 80 times a day, an average of 12 times, an average of one time every 12 minutes. So I've been off Facebook and Instagram for a few months now, but yet I will still pick up my phone and I'll look at my email, my photos, my bank balance. I've just replaced those things with other random apps, which is confronting and sad. When I think about being present with someone and attentive in a conversation, this picture comes to mind, if you're happy to jump to the picture, Tim. This is at the Coffee Pot Cafe, which is open Monday and Tuesdays. Ken Leek is from this community, and that's Jake, my little one. Ken is always there sitting with his coffee and scone, and Jake just like crawled up onto the seat with him, and Ken just started chatting to him. Jake can't say many words yet, But Ken just chatted to him and laughed with him and just fully engaged with him in that moment. And I thought, wow, like what an amazing image of like intergenerational love. But also, like, what an amazing image of what it is to be present in a moment by Ken. I just love that so much. Number two, if you're happy to go back to the questions, Tim. Am I loving or judging in this moment? Am I coming to this person with an open mind and spirit to learn? Am I making judgments based of how they present? It's easy to make judgments of people. And we know Adam and Eve wanted to be able to make the judgments of good and bad. And so we might find ourselves as well. Maybe judging co-workers for how they do or don't work. Maybe judging our spouses for not doing life our way. Maybe we look at people from other religions or atheists and judge them for how they live or aren't living like followers of Jesus. Instead, I wonder how we can be more open and curious to wonder of how people have got to their beliefs or where they are today. And number three, am I open or closed to being changed? The other day I had a interaction with one of my neighbours that was a bit tricky. And in that moment, I looked down. I didn't want to engage. Sam was there and a few others. I said, Sam, can you talk? I just looked down. I thought, I don't want to engage. This is way too uncomfortable and confronting. I have a really good relationship with this person. Some of you were there. There was too many of us in the communal pool. At the time and after, I knew. I thought, oh, that was just not the way I wanted to be with her in that moment. And all day I'm going, do I go and see her? Do I not? Zach didn't go to bed easily that night, so we went for a little walk. I thought, right, God, this is the moment. So I went to see her just to hear her out. And I'm really glad I did. I didn't shake too much, which was great. But I'm really glad I did. Actually, it caused me to be open to change. It helped me to see from her perspective and to see a different point of view and to hear more of the story that I didn't know, which led to her frustration that day. And afterwards, I felt the first interaction I was closed, the second interaction I was open, and I felt like God changed me and helped me to see from her point of view. Now, with these questions, I don't think we can be them all of the time. I don't think we can always be like 100% present, 100% loving, 100% open, because we will find judgments will come into our mind. We will find we are distracted. And those of us who are carers of people, we are naturally trying to be present with people we're with and with the person we're caring for. Those of us with little kids, we're trying to be present with them and the people we're caring for. But it's an invitation for us to still check in the moment. Am I moving towards love? Am I moving towards presence? Am I moving towards openness? So the scripture that brings it all together for us today, before we move into our table groups, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, Paul is writing this letter to encourage the Philippian church. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And I love this because all of those words is what God has for us. Tenderness, compassion, encouragement, fellowship, unity, friendship. Which means that we receive that from God. Then how amazing that we can then give that in our relationships with others. So I'm just going to pray. And then we're going to move into table groups, if you feel comfortable, to chat for 15 minutes. And then I'll come up and we'll pray for us to finish off. Would you pray with me? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you that the measure of maturity is not about how much activity we do or knowledge, although those things do grow our faith and personhood. But it is about loving you, God, and loving others well. That is a measure of maturity. And also, it helps us grow and be better and be people who bring hope and light to our neighborhoods. I thank you so much for every person in this room. I thank you that you have tenderness for them, compassion, that you want to encourage them today. And we also invite Holy Spirit for you to stir and nudge us and challenge us in the ways that we maybe have some habits or behaviors that prevent us from loving people well. And you know those, God, and you still throw open the door for us to come into communion with you, to be changed, to be more like you, and to be people as a church who reflect your love. So I thank you for this time. I thank you for the conversations and what you will stir. I pray that we would be open-minded to how you want to encourage and nudge us in these times together. Amen. So feel free to jump into your groups and then I'll pray at the end. All right, if you can finish up your conversations, that would be great. All righty. This is the worst part of bringing you out of great conversations. I just invite you in your table groups to stand up if you are able. If you need to stay seated, that's okay. If you're able, I invite you to stand with me. If you're unable, that's okay, you can stay sitting. As we finish our time together, I invite you to look at the people in your table group as just an acknowledgement of seeing each other, of having just been present with each other and seeing the image of God in each other and the conversations and community that has happened. And I now invite you to face the door, face the back. As we look at the door that we are exiting today to go and be the present, loving, and open to change people of God with all those that we will live, laugh, and work with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, until we meet again. And now I invite you to look at me. As you go and as we go, people of God, may you be empowered by the Holy Spirit. May you experience the encouragement and tenderness and compassion of God. And as we go, may the Spirit nudge us and stir us to be people who love God and love Jesus inseparably. Amen.